You are listening to the Just Chill Parenting Podcast. I am your host, Rosie Davidson, an infant sleep consultant, author, and mum of three. This is a show all about honest chat where I talk about my favourite topic, sleep, of course, but I will also be covering your burning parenting questions and speak to some very special guests along the way. So buckle up and enjoy! Hello and welcome to the Just Chill Parenting Podcast. This episode, I'm joined by a very special guest. This episode is an absolute must if you've had a cesarean section or might ever have one in the future. This week, I'm joined by my lovely friend, Hannah Johnson, who's an award-winning cesarean scar massage therapist. Hannah is on a mission to make C-section birth recovery better for all. As a sports massage therapist specialising in postnatal recovery and scar massage, Hannah has a passion for helping women to feel better in their bodies, as well as improving the appearance of their abdominal scars. As well as in-person consultations, Hannah has empowered hundreds of women with the knowledge and skills to massage their own scars. Hannah was also one of my clients a few years ago, who I helped with her son's sleep, but we can get on to that later. Welcome, Hannah.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Hannah, I'm so pleased you're here to share your wisdom on the pod. We've had loads of questions from listeners for you, but first of all, tell us a bit about your journey and how you got into scar massage.
So I have a lot of experience with pregnant and postnatal women, and I was doing a lot of massage in that field. Then my husband got really ill and he had to have major abdominal surgery, meaning that he has a scar all the way down the centre of his tummy. So he had a lot of complications with healing internally, but also a year later, he had a bowel obstruction. And that was kind of out of the blue for us. It wasn't something that we were really aware of, but the doctors were really blasé, saying, you know, it's something that's really common after abdominal surgery. And it really threw us a lot, but it really kind of ignited my interest in scars and how we can help them and the effect that they have on the body. And then because I was working with a lot of pregnant and postnatal women, I started talking to them about their scars and finding that actually a lot of them were struggling with pain, numbness, restriction and other issues. And it kind of went from there. I just became a bit obsessed with scars and reading and learning everything I could about it, and then went on to do more training in it.
Oh, wow, what an amazing start. Difficult, but amazing that that got you into it. I love that. So I think for a lot of the listeners, it'd be really interesting for you to explain what scar massage is.
Yeah, sure. So scar massage is a very gentle technique in which we basically move the tissues on and around the scar. A lot of people suffer with tightness, restriction, even pain and numbness, as I mentioned. So scar massage is just a really gentle way of helping to mobilise those tissues and make them feel better in your body.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know. So I had one vaginal birth and two cesarean sections, and I've obviously come to see you. And when I walked out from having a scar massage from you, I honestly felt like my whole body felt free.
Yeah.
It felt completely different. Like I'd had almost like a belt around me and someone had taken the belt off or loosened the belt. It's really interesting. But I also think being able to do it yourself and being empowered to do that is a real valuable tool to have in your toolbox.
Definitely. And yeah, there's just so many benefits to massaging your scar. And I think women aren't really told anything. Like they're sent home from the hospital with a newborn and not told anything about how to care for their scar or what they can do to feel better. So I really love doing this work because of that.
In my experience, no one really said anything about my scar other than try and keep it clean. And even that, to be honest, was really minimal I was given.
Yeah.
And I was really worried about my scar and I kept asking people to look at it. my other half, I was asking him to look because sometimes you can't really see it properly if you've got a bit of an overhang, and I don't know, you're just in the early postnatal as well, you're still quite swollen and you know you've got your uterus is still quite extended. So anyway, we have had some questions in from the listeners, so let's get started with those. You've touched on it briefly, but what would you say the key benefits of scar massage are?
So the main thing is that we are helping to prevent the buildup of scar tissue. So when your body is healing from a trauma or a surgery like that, the body creates scar tissue. Now that is brilliant for helping to heal the wound, but the tissue is like our body's cement. So it's really sticking everything together so that it doesn't open, which is perfect for wound healing, but it can then impact other processes in our body, making us feel pain, tightness, numbness. So scar massage, we can really just help prevent that scar tissue building up too much, but also to help relieve the symptoms that you're experiencing. And it will stay like that. People often ask me, is it something that I, you know, if I do it, is it just going to come back and come back? Once we've manipulated those tissues, often it will stay that way. So it's a really, really great way of helping you to feel better. Plus reconnecting with your tummy. I know a lot of women tell me that area is somewhere that they don't feel connected with after they've had a baby, whether that is cesarean or a vaginal birth. So massage can really help reconnect you with your tummy, really, and help you to kind of find your body again.
It can feel quite alien, I think, when you've been through something like that and you feel that area of your body. And I know myself, so this week I've decided to look after myself a bit more, and I've had some goals. One of those is putting cuticle oil on my nails, but the other one is having some massage oil out to massage my scar, my C-section scar, even if it's just for like 30 seconds a day when I put my moisturizer on. And I felt it the other day and I thought, I haven't actually touched my scar in a while. And it just felt really weird. I was like, I almost forgot it was there. And you feel it down there and you expect it to feel... My first cesarean was actually, 7.5 years ago? And you forget that your tummy doesn't feel like it used to feel. So it can almost feel like it's not part of you.
Yeah.
So if you can connect to it, I think that's quite magical, actually, to reconnect to yourself and your new self as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people ask, how soon after your cesarean can you massage your scar?
So as soon as your scar is fully healed, and by that I mean fully closed, completely dry, no scabs, no pus or anything like that, completely healed, then you can start to gently touch and massage your scar. Generally, for most people, it's about 6 to 8 weeks, but obviously that can widely vary. So always just check with your GP if you're not sure.
Yeah, it's interesting because it feels like when you first have it, I almost feel like you don't want to go anywhere near it. But I was wondering, is it helpful sometimes to maybe think about massaging near the scar before you get to the actual scar?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you can do that as early as you're ready, as long as you're not touching the actual scar. Just even placing your hand on your tummy, taking some nice deep breaths down there to start with, can really just help that reconnection process get started.
Because I know when I first had all of my babies, I had midwives talking to me about pelvic floors. And obviously it's kind of all connected, isn't it? And you can do pelvic floors as soon as you can feel the area. So I feel like you can start reconnecting with your body as long as you're careful with the scar, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
Somebody asked, what things do we need to check when the scar's healing?
So I kind of just touched on them briefly there, but things like, is there any inflammation or heat or pain? Is there any pus or unusual smell? Things like that might be a sign that you've got an infection, and you should definitely get anything like that checked out.
Yeah.
They're the main things I would be looking for. Or just, you know your body best. If you don't feel 100% or you don't feel right, then always best to just go and get checked out.
Yeah, I always think heat is always a sign.
Yes.
Like alarm bells, that's a red flag if something feels hot. Another question, is it normal to feel numb around your scar?
Yes, this is so normal, and it can even last for years. I'm of the belief that it's not permanent numbness. In some cases, yes, but it's more often than not, it will come back. In the beginning, obviously, you've been cut quite deeply into your tummy, so there will be damage to the tissues, the nerves, and it does take time for them to grow back. But research shows that actually it's the brain connecting with the new nerves that takes the time. So that is why touch and massage and things like that are so important, because it really helps your brain to connect with the new nerves that are being created. Our bodies have to create new neural pathways after we've had a pregnancy. No matter what way we've given birth, we still have to recreate these neural pathways. So that numbness can sometimes just be a sign that your brain isn't quite linked with the new nerves yet. And by touching it, massaging your scar, it can really, really help to improve the sensation.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know that the nerves had to do that, and it makes total sense. Because obviously, after you first have a cesarean section, you've got painkillers or, well, epidural or spinal block, so you don't feel anything. And then as you kind of, as that wears off, it can feel really painful. And obviously, then you have pain meds to keep on top of. But I remember feeling like really numb initially, and that numbness, it's weird. It's like it's pain and numbness at the same time, which is a weird thing to kind of get your head around.
Yeah, people often come to me and they say, I don't know if this makes sense, but I feel numb, but I feel really sensitive at the same time. And it is a very weird thing to get your head around. But yeah, the more we can touch and reconnect with our tummy and scar, we can really improve that.
I mean, this kind of, we've kind of covered it, but it links to the next question, which is, what can you do to improve numbness?
So touch, massage, and like you were saying, even if it is before your scar is healed, just starting to touch your tummy, connect with it. But a really good tip is, if you're struggling with numbness, and a lot of people finding it hard to touch their scar, it feels numb, it feels weird, don't want to touch it. So getting a soft makeup brush or a cotton wool ball or a cotton bud, and just gently sweeping it over the area or around the area, can really, really help. It helps send those signals to our brain that something is happening there. As you progress and you get used to that feeling, try different materials. You could try a towel or a fleece or even a toothbrush, just gently rubbing around that area just to get your brain used to the different textures, and that can really help.
That's really interesting. It's got me thinking. So I'm big into kind of massage and things, because I've had lots of pain in different areas of my body due to hypermobility and pelvic pain, lots going on that I don't need to go into in this episode. But I've realized that deep massage, like hard, I've always in the past like really liked like a really deep tissue massage, and thought like the lighter massage where you're almost tickling's like doesn't do anything. But actually I've realized now that my body responds really well to light massage, and it makes sense. Even just your skin has so many like nerve endings in it, doesn't it? So even just simulating that organ, which skin's an organ, is enough. And then you've got all these layers underneath. So it is valuable even doing the really light work.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in massage, traditional massage, like you say, it's always deep tissue and go harder, more like no pain, no gain. But actually, the more research being done now is showing that actually we're working on the nervous system first and foremost when we massage. And if you don't feel safe, and I'm coming in with my elbows and I'm going really deep, then you're just going to tense up even more. So that gentle massage, and I really don't believe in it has to be painful to be effective, and especially not with scar massage.
Yeah, you want to be really gentle anyway. So how, if we've lost kind of that feeling, how do we get it back? If it's years later, like let's say it's like 5-6 years later and somebody's listening to this, what can they do?
Do those things I've just said. You won't believe it. I have women coming to me 3, 4, 5 years post C-section have been numb for years, and they leave feeling more amazing with their tummies. And it's just mind-blowing, really. Having that time where they can just reconnect and just even tune in with their body. I think a lot of people come, you know, you've left your baby, your kids, work, you're constantly busy. But just to have some time set aside where you can actually just feel what is going on in my body, I think that's huge. And a lot of us don't get that time. And it's about making that time, even if it's a couple of minutes a day where you can just tune into yourself.
Yeah.
It really makes a difference.
As parents and mothers, often particularly, we do everything for everyone else and we have to-do lists coming out of our ears. So sometimes I think when people talk about self-care, it's not always that helpful, because you're like, oh, it's another thing for my to-do list. So you've got to make it realistic. And sometimes that might just be, like, I would think, like, maybe it literally is touching my scar when I get out of the shower and put my body cream on, and it's just like for 10 seconds and you build up. And then if you do get a quiet moment at some point, maybe when the kids are in bed, hopefully. So is it ever too late to work on a scar?
Never, never, ever. I'm so passionate about this because our bodies are amazing. They are constantly growing, changing, evolving. We can change whenever we want to. We just have to put the work in. And I think our bodies just have this capacity to heal all the time. We're always healing, growing. So yeah, definitely never, ever too late.
Yeah, I've been kind of working out a lot more recently. This is a side note. And I'm trying to build more muscle, because the more muscle I have, it can support my pelvis and spine. And just generally, it's really good for all of us as we grow and as we age. But I've learned, and I really thought that as you got older, you couldn't really build muscle, but you can. The human body's amazing, isn't it? How you can grow muscle, you can heal, you can do all of these things, and you don't have to think like, oh, it's too late. Like, some people think, oh, over 40, like you're going downhill, but actually you're not at all.
And like you say, doing those things can really only strengthen you, can't they? And help you get through the next years.
Exactly. So one of the things I've heard a lot about, and I didn't use these because maybe they weren't around when I had my cesarean sections, or maybe I just didn't know about them. Silicone patches. Mm. What can you tell us about silicone?
So silicone is either in a gel or a strip, and basically you wear it on your scar to help it heal. It's most widely known for helping to reduce the height of scars. So if you've got a hypertrophic scar, which means a raised red scar, then silicone can really help to reduce the height of it. But it can be a really great tool for healing to help prevent it from becoming raised. And it can also help to reduce the colour of the scar. So essentially, it is trapping in moisture into the scar and helping the body to know that it's created enough collagen. Because when we have a raised scar, it's where our body has created too much collagen. And there's that excess of scar tissue that you can see. So that is how it works. And I do really recommend silicone, especially if you have a raised scar or you're prone to scarring that way. And it can be really, really good.
And how soon can you use silicone?
So again, it's once your scar is fully healed.
Okay. And is it ever too late to start with silicone? Is it kind of something that you really need to do early postnatal?
It's best if you can start in the first 12 months. However, saying that, people do use it from 12 to 18 months, but you have to be aware that it will probably take longer to see a change.
Okay.
So whereas if you started it at 10 weeks, you might only need to wear it for 8 to 10 weeks, and that's all you need. Whereas if you're starting at 18 months, you might be looking at 6 months or longer of using the silicone before you see a change. But obviously everyone's different. It's hard to put an exact number on it, but the earlier the better.
And if I was going to use it, for example, now, just thinking about me, my son is 2.5. Is it pointless at 2.5 postpartum?
If you have a really raised scar and it's really getting you down and it's something that you want to try, then absolutely try it. But it will probably take a while. And I don't think silicone alone will fix it.
No. I mean, it's not a huge issue for me. I was just interested if it might do something, like a magic... a magic thing you can put on.
I mean, I've seen people who do use it at that stage, and it can make a difference, but it's a very long road in my experience. I don't know, the NHS website says that hypertrophic scars will go down on their own, which I don't see a lot of, if I'm honest. I just, from my own experience, I see that you have to do some other things with it.
That's interesting. Is there any particular oil that's going to do anything?
So I really like vitamin E oil and rosehip seed oil.
Okay.
Those two are very good for scarring. Again, when you've got a raised scar, it's going to be harder just with oils alone and things. But those two would be my go-tos for scarring.
That's really good. That's good to know, because I think people will want to know after listening to this
what
they can do to get going. Somebody asked about a dip they have in their scar where they had an injection.
Mm-hmm.
Can they improve that?
Yes. So it is difficult to sometimes know how to work on those kind of scars. But with kind of a gentle technique that I do is almost filling the scar, for want of a better word.
Right.
I know when you came to me, you had a bit of a dip. It wasn't from an injection.
A little
bit of a dip in your scar. And we kind of filled it in a little bit so that it doesn't look so sunken in. But it can be hard to fix just with massage on your own.
Yeah. When you said we filled it in, what do you mean?
It's a very technical term. I mean that I'm just moving the tissue and kind of encouraging it back.
Yeah.
So where you've, got a scar and it might be pulled in, we're just trying to encourage the tissue to come back together.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't sound very technical.
No, I know what you mean. That does make sense. And I think there's one of the things to know is that scars all look different on different people, and it might be that there's a dip because of an injection, or it might be the way that, I don't know, the surgeon sewed you up, or like how the cut kind of went. Like, there's lots of reasons, isn't there, why it might be different, like dips or different shapes. And certainly for me, I had and I still do, like it feels like more raised on one side.
Yeah.
And I've been told that's because that's where they closed.
Yeah. It's really common to have one side rather than the other that is different, either tighter or more raised. Mm. And yeah, it can be where they've sewn you up. Generally, I'd say for 90% of women, it's the right side.
Yeah, same as
me.
Every
now and then I get someone on the left, but they tend to stand, if I'm right, on the right side.
Got you.
Because your heart is on the left side. So say if there was an emergency, that area is clear for them to come in. That's my understanding of it.
Okay, that's really interesting. For me, obviously, I've had two cesarean sections. So they obviously go in normally on the same scar. And it's really interesting because the scar seemed different this time than it did after the first one. I don't think I did any scar massage after the first one, but after this one I did. And I think it feels and looks better than last time, which is really interesting. Somebody has asked, when does redness start to fade?
Again, this is a really hard to put a timeline on this one. I sometimes see people at 3 months and their scar is barely visible. Mm. And then I get people at 2 years and it's still very red. General rule of thumb is that if there's a lot of redness, that's showing that active healing is still going on. However, for women who are further down the line, it might just show that there's a bit of an imbalance there or some soft tissue work needs to be done to help with why the redness is still there.
Yeah.
But generally, I'd say from like 9 months onwards, you'd be expecting your scar to be fading.
Okay. Somebody's asked how to massage an atrophic scar. I don't actually know what that is.
So atrophic is where it's kind of a sunken appearance. So it's a bit like what we were just talking about. So whereas the hypertrophic is raised, the atrophic is kind of more sunken in. And this kind of ties in with the whole question about how do we help with an overhang? Because if you have a scar that is more sunken, then automatically it will appear that the area above your tummy is hanging over more.
Yes.
Because that's drawn in. Again, it's similar techniques that I would use, but ideally we're trying to release or soften the tissue that is along that scar line that's pulling it in.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say to me, oh, what, do you think they've just sewn me up too tight? You know, I've got this. And it's really hard for me to say, but I do believe that with massage, we can just really soften the appearance so it doesn't look so sunken in.
Yeah. And I think it is okay to say that you don't like what it looks like.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can talk about all the benefits in terms of like freeing up the tissue and feeling better. But also there is an element that post-birth, our bodies look different and it's coming to terms with that. But if you feel really conscious that there's an overhang and, you know, you don't want to wear a bikini in the summer or something.
Yeah.
Or even just when you're looking in the mirror just on your own, whether you're with a partner or not, you can feel quite self-conscious. And I think if you can help that, the appearance of it, it's not vain or anything like that. It's okay to do that.
Yeah, and I do get so many people coming to me and they say, I know it sounds vain, but, or I really don't like this and I know it's so bad, I shouldn't feel like this. And it's absolutely valid. People say to me, you know, it's really affecting their mental health. And to be able to then give them the tools that they can do something to try and help is so important, because like you say, if you can't look at yourself in the mirror or you don't want your partner to touch you or anything like that, that's really affecting your quality of life.
Yeah, and definitely.
There's no shame in saying that you're not happy with your scar or how your tummy looks.
Part of it is, having had a baby, it's quite normal to have kind of a loose tummy, you know, whether that's your uterus is still extended, whether you've got some extra body fat. The fact that our abdominal muscles have essentially been stretched apart and then are trying to go back together.
Yeah.
Do you think there's other things we could be doing alongside scar massage to kind of help with that appearance of our tummies?
Yeah, so I do really recommend working on your pelvic floor.
Mm.
That is such a big driver to how your tummy is looking and feeling, just because we're trying to strengthen those muscles, which then helps the appearance. So definitely doing your pelvic floor, kind of inner core work. That might even just mean breathing exercises as well.
Yeah.
I think we forget like how much this is all connected and how much of a difference it makes when we have that strength there.
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend doing that alongside your massage. Obviously diet plays a part, making sure we're drinking enough water, we're hydrated, all those kind of general lifestyle things. But for me, the inner core work and the massage together is really good.
I think a lot of us can forget to drink enough water.
Yeah.
I'm terrible for it. I'm saying this the other day on my social media. I was like, often I think I want a cup of tea, but I don't. I actually just need to drink some water. And we all reach for things like chocolate and unhealthy foods. And I personally don't think we should, I mean, unless it's an issue, like really limit them. But it's about what can we add in that might help, help our bodies to heal. So we know, correct me if I'm wrong, vitamin C is really helpful, isn't it, for healing?
Yeah, vitamin C and zinc. And I think those two together are really good. So if you can take the two at the same time, either from your diet or as a supplement. When my husband was really ill and he wasn't healing internally, and it was just going on and on and on, and someone said to him, take some vitamin C and zinc. And honestly, within about a week or two, this issue he'd been having had completely healed.
Wow.
And it was so powerful to us, and I couldn't believe it. There was obviously other little things we were doing, but that was in my mind such a big help to support his body. And obviously vitamin C is part of the building blocks for our tissue growth and rebuilding our body. So things like chicken broth and things like that have so much vitamin C in them.
Do they?
And collagen. Oh. So that is what your body needs. So I used to feed him like chicken broth by the bucket, I'd be like, just anything I could to help him feel better. And I really do put it down to that.
Oh, that's
A support. Obviously, that's not the only thing.
Yeah. But it's a support. But I think like a healthy, balanced diet, and also something we could touch on postnatally, obviously, your bowels, like it can feel different going to the toilet, and having like a good diet can help with that. Obviously, like fiber and just having all the nice food groups and just thinking about looking after yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we forget.
We do.
This episode is brought to you by Just Chill Baby Sleep, the number one infant sleep consultancy in the UK and beyond. We really love sleep, and we want you to have all the information that you need about sleep at your fingertips. Our award-winning, self-led online courses can banish those bad nights and leave you feeling calm and in control, and most of all, well rested. For more information about our online courses and one-to-one support, please go to justchillbabysleep.co.uk. Listeners can also use the code JCPP for 10% off any online course or bundle. So sleep well. So I wanted to talk about something else with Hannah, which was your son's sleep. And this is, now we'd met before. We'd met before you had problems with his sleep. But you came to me and you were struggling a little bit. Do you want to tell us a bit about what was going on with his sleep?
I think he was around 14 months.
Oh, was he that small?
Yeah, he was. And we were having multiple wake-ups in the night. We were having 5 a.m. starts on top of that. And honestly, I just felt like a bit of a shell.
Oh.
I felt so tired. And it was literally, you know, like every couple of hours when they're waking up.
Yes.
And I'd fallen into the trap of thinking, oh, he must be hungry, or and giving him a bottle. Then that had become a bit of a nightmare routine in the night that I was then ending up giving him milk in the night. So I remember someone saying to me, give him milk in a cup.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't drink it, then you'll know he's not hungry. Yeah. He just wants the cup of the bottle. So I did that. I remember like it was 2 o'clock in the morning one night, and I was like, right, you're going to have this milk in a cup and see if you're going to like it. And he pushed it away from me.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, you know what you're up to kind of thing. I just thought, right, no, this is going to stop. And then I reached out to you the next day and I was like, please, can you help me? Because I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And it is, you get to that point, don't you, where you're just like, do you know what? I can't keep going like this. I was so tired. I remember just being crying in the day because I was so tired, just eating like chocolate and biscuits and tea just to give me energy to keep going. And I felt rubbish in myself. I felt tired. I was probably bickering with my partner and, you know, just feeling snappy. And I was like, no, this has got to change. So I reached out to you and, never looked back.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, so we did a one-to-one and obviously work through it that way. But yeah, it can be so life-changing. Were you working at the time? You were, weren't you?
Yeah.
So that must have been really hard.
Yeah, it's so hard, isn't it? I think when you go back to work and you're then juggling the sleeplessness, but also having to be here for people. And with my job, it's so physical.
Yeah.
But also I have to be like emotionally here for people as well. You know, yeah. I have to be switched on and I want to be switched on and to be able to give my all to them. So yeah, I really needed that. And it was a few tweaks that you gave me and it made all the difference. Like I can still remember exactly what we did.
Yeah.
To change it. And I remember standing one night of probably after that we'd had the call and I was doing the kind of going in, settling him, leaving, and then he would cry and I would go in again and settle him. And I must have done it about 100 times. I was literally like crying outside his room, but I was like, no, I'm going to make this change.
Yeah.
And honestly, two or three nights, I think it was only two nights of doing that. And then he kind of got the memo and he was like, okay,
I actually do remember, and I even remember the second night you said it was much better than the first night.
It was.
And it was just about holding your boundary, but he knew you were there and you kept returning to him.
I didn't leave him at all and I just literally kept... And it.
One of the things that might interest people to know is that you also have a daughter who's... How much older is she? 4 years older?
4 years, yeah.
And they were sharing a room, weren't they?
They were, yeah. And do you know what? She's an amazing sleeper now. Yeah. I think it's because she's had to put up with all the crying. But that was another part of it because I used to go in to take him out because I didn't want him to wake her. So I was much quicker, I think, to go in so that she wouldn't be disturbed. But then she kind of had to just get used to it. And to be honest, she's a really good sleeper. She sleeps through anything.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And one of the reasons I said that is because people ask me a lot, how can it work if they've got siblings sharing their room? Because let's face it, a lot of people don't have the space to have separate bedrooms. Or they might have twins, whatever. There's lots of different scenarios for people. And sometimes I think it can be a barrier to changing sleep because they worry about it. But actually, I'd say half the time they don't disturb their sibling when you think that they would. And if they do, often children just need a bit of reassurance. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here sorting out your brother. Yeah. It's fine. That's still here. Yeah. It's just, I think with children often, as long as you reassure them, it's all right.
Yeah. And that's it. I think she did used to wake up a few times and I'd just say, it's okay, go back to sleep. And she did. And that was it.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting you saying about your job and how it can be quite emotional for people. Mm. And I just thought it might be a nice thing to touch on towards the end of the episode about how scar massage or any kind of massage, but reconnecting with yourself after birth can release a lot of emotion. Mm. And there can be some trauma kind of linked. I mean, all birth is sort of a trauma, I guess, depending how you define trauma. Mm-hmm. But how do people respond, like, when you're massaging them?
Yeah, it really varies. I mean, I think, like what you said, if someone's had a traumatic birth, and a lot of the women I see have had a difficult or a traumatic birth, whether that's an unplanned C-section or a difficult recovery period, whatever it is. So the body, in my opinion, holds that emotion.
Mm.
So when we're actually massaging the scar, often it can be a release for people.
Yeah.
And people do get tearful. Someone said to me once that they felt like they'd really just let go of something. And I really feel like people come into my room, they often look like they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders, or they might be nervous, they're not knowing what to expect, and they leave like a different person. Mm. And you can almost see it in their face, like something has lifted. And it's just so nice to see that, because I think we hold so much in our bodies, and even when we don't realize it, we're holding tension. So just to let someone help you release that and work on it can be huge.
What would your advice be to somebody who wants to start thinking about massaging their scar themselves? Where would they start?
So I would just start with the kind of reconnection tips that I've mentioned. So just hand on your tummy, nice big breaths all the way down to your scar. Then just have a little kind of feel with your fingers. Mm. If you don't feel comfortable touching the scar, that's absolutely fine. It's really beneficial, actually, to still massage around the scar.
Okay.
I like to think of scars as a bit of an iceberg. So what we see on the surface is just the tip. Actually, what's going on underneath is much more far-reaching. So by working around the scar, we're still really impacting what's going on. And then just some gentle circles on your scar. Up and down movement, moving the scar in different directions is really helpful. And where scar tissue doesn't lay down in straight lines, it's kind of a bit higgledy-piggledy. So massaging in different directions can make sure that we're impacting it all.
That's good. And you have resources, don't you, to help people online?
I do, yes. I've got online classes that I run regularly. I do one-to-one consultations. Also, finishing up on a little introductory course that I'm just making, ooh, which I think will be really nice, really accessible for people just to get started.
Lovely.
I recently ran a five-day challenge and it was so good. Like, oh, I had so much good feedback from it, of people just who started massaging their scar for 5 days and the difference they felt. Even by day three, the messages I was getting, wow, were so nice. So watch out for that. I'm going to be releasing that,
yeah,
in the next few days.
So if people want to see you in person, you're obviously in North London.
Yes.
But I think it's really good for people to know that if they aren't able to get to you, they can still do something and they can meet you online.
Exactly. And that's what's so good about being able to offer this online, is that I can help more people.
Yeah. So if people want to find you, where can they find you?
So I'm on Instagram as Hannah Johnson Therapies. I've got a website, hannahjohnsontherapies.com. They're the two places I mostly am.
Brilliant. It's been so nice to chat to you today. Really, it's a really lovely topic. I think it was going to help so many people. So thank you so much for joining me. I hope everyone has enjoyed the episode. Please remember to review, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. It means the world to have you listening. I'll be back soon with more parenting problems, experts, and sleep information soon. Sleep well.